and spiritual songs. And so those are great words, and it's an encouragement to hear one another singing out and celebrating those wonderful truths. To prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper this morning, I want to begin in Acts chapter 9, and we're going to read the first two verses. And this happens to be our daily Bible review reading for today. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1 says, "Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." And so we were introduced to Saul earlier. He was there when Stephen was put to death, holding his garments. Acts chapter 8, the first couple of verses, it talks about how a great persecution was kind of led by Saul. But here we see that, again, Saul is leading this persecution against the church. Imagine what it would be like to live in a time when they might knock on your door, or they could bust into our assembly this morning, and if we confess we believe in Jesus, or they find us practicing Christianity, you know, maybe even observing the Lord's Supper, we could be arrested or perhaps put to death. And you know, Saul, I think he believed that Jesus lived. I can't confirm that, but I suppose he believed in his heart that there was an imposter named Jesus. But what he really needs is to see that Jesus was raised from the dead. And of course, that's what he's going to see just a little bit later in this same chapter. I was thinking about people of the Muslim faith, and especially the radical militant Muslims. You know, they're basically doing the same thing that the Apostle Paul was doing in Acts chapter 9. 2 summers ago especially, there was this campaign where they were going into cities and demanding people confess their faith, if not, leave, flee their homes, or be put to death. A lot like what Paul was doing. And you know, I think Muslims, they say they believe in Jesus also. They think he was a prophet. They don't believe he's the Son of God. They don't believe he died on the cross, and certainly don't believe that he was raised from the dead. And so I think Muslims, you could say like Paul, they need to see that Jesus was, in fact, more than just a prophet, that he was the Son of God, that he was raised from the dead. But Muslims believe that Jesus lived. But that's not the same Jesus we believe in. If he's not the Son of God, if he wasn't crucified for our sins. Muslims believe in the Old and New Testaments. But their chief book, of course, is the Quran. That always supersedes the Bible. In fact, they believe that it was given to Muhammad because of corruption of the Old and New Testaments. And so I've got a friend, I was talking to him Friday, and I said, you know, you claim to believe the New Testament, but I just told him, you don't believe the New Testament. The New Testament claims Jesus was crucified and that he died on the cross. You know, and this young man has been told all of his life that he does believe the New Testament. And so he asked me what I thought was a funny question. He said, well, where does the New Testament say Jesus died on the cross? And I just wanted to laugh at that. You know, it's throughout the Gospels. It's throughout really every book, almost in the Bible. It's there very, very plainly. There is no truth, no doctrine, you know, more attested to than the death of Jesus. That's what the whole New Testament is about. That's what the Gospel is all about. And so I shared with him a couple of passages. You know, Mark chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus began to teach that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed. They say Jesus was not killed. Jesus said he was going to be killed. That's Mark 8, 31. Mark 9, 31, he taught his disciples and said, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise the third day. One more chapter, Mark 10, 33. Behold, he said, we're going to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priest. They will condemn him and deliver him to death. To the Gentiles, they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him. And the third day, he will rise again. And we know, of course, that's exactly what happened. Each of the gospel stories tells us about the death of Jesus on the cross. Then after his resurrection, that's what Peter preached, right? Jesus was delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, but you have taken and by lawless hands crucified him. Does the New Testament teach Jesus died? Of course it does. Again, there is no truth, you know, more firmly established in the Bible than the idea that Jesus was crucified for our sins. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 15, this is the passage that begins in verse 1 by saying, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach to you." And this is the essence of the gospel. And number one is that Christ died for our sins. Again, Muslims say they believe in the Torah, in the Psalms, in what they call the Injil. That's the Arabic word that corresponds to the Greek word evangelion, which is the word for gospel. They say they believe in the gospels. But the gospels teach Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And there's a reference in the Quran that says he was not crucified. They did not kill him. He did not die on the cross. Revelation chapter 13, look at this. I mean, it says he was slain from the foundation of the world. How could you not believe Jesus died on the cross? Before the world was created, it was God's predetermined plan that Jesus would be crucified. And to me, it's almost comical. Now, what my friend would say is that the New Testament was corrupted, and someone came along and added all this about Jesus being crucified. And that's why the angel clarified the revelation to Muhammad, and he wrote the Quran, which supersedes. But so it's been corrupted. I mean, what can we believe in? I guess we can't believe Matthew. We can't believe Mark. We can't believe Luke. We can't believe John. We can't believe Acts. I mean, what's left? You know, the New Testament teaches that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And again, there's no fact, you know, better attested or more important, of course, than the fact that he did die on the cross for our sins. John chapter 12, verse 32. This is what the Apostle Paul needed to understand, that Jesus died on the cross and why he died. And I think this is what our Muslim friends need to understand also. And what our job is as Christians, I think, is to share with them the fact that Jesus died. And that kind of the Lord's Supper is about lifting Christ up. It's about being reminded how he was lifted up. It's a vivid portrayal of his death on the cross. If I'm lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all people to myself. Like Paul was saying, he died in 1 Corinthians 15 for our sins. Look at what's missing if we don't have the crucifixion. Just another prophet with more laws. We don't have a Savior. We don't have a Redeemer. But we believe Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And so we need to tell that wonderful story. That's what the good news is. He died so that we could be forgiven of our sins. And so we're about to partake of the Lord's Supper, and I want to tie all this together with 1 Corinthians 11, 26. That's where Paul was instructing the Corinthians about partaking of the Lord's Supper. And one of the things he said there is, as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, what we're doing is we're proclaiming the Lord's death. There's a lot of aspects. We're remembering what he did. We're examining ourselves. We're giving thanks to God for his gift. But this verse says we're actually preaching the gospel. And by doing this morning, we're saying we believe that Jesus died. He really did die. His body really did die on the cross. And he died for our sins. And the fact that we do it on Sunday reminds us that he was raised from the dead. This is a little way that we preach the gospel to the world. We're proclaiming the fact that Jesus did die and he was raised from the dead. And this Lord's Supper memorial reminds us of that and serves as a living testimony and witness that these things are, in fact, true. So now we're going to be led in for prayer for the bread. Let's give our attention to Jonathan as he directs our minds at this time.